In verse 10, the apostle here says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." If you look in this book of Ephesians, you will see that in the early chapters, the apostle has much to say to the people at Ephesus regarding what they have in Christ, especially the first and second chapter there. And then he gets into their love for Christ and brings before them their responsibility to the Lord. But also in chapter 4, he speaks about our responsibility to each other. And I think what was relevant for the church at Ephesus is relevant for every evangelical congregation today. Be ye kind one to another and tender-hearted. Those are just some of the words that he had to say to them. He also spoke to them regarding dealing with their own heart and how they were to keep themselves in tune with the Lord. 11 days when it seems that people find it very difficult, and this is not a criticism, it's just, I think, a fact that everybody knows, find it difficult to maintain consistency with the Lord and that walk with him. And that is, of course, lived seen in meetings as well, that there is difficulty there. Well, Paul, here, he covers it all. But folks, he knows. He knows that he is speaking to men and women who are very aware of how hard it can be. And people who are saved, but they know that he has never told them that there will not be days of difficulty and times when the clouds seem to be continually gathering. Even in the things that he said to them, I mentioned earlier to read the whole book, perhaps in one sitting, and you see the lovely chapter 1 about what we have in Christ and so on, and grace and all of that. But then he tells us about responsibility. And we don't take responsibility today and then just set it aside for a wee while when we feel that we don't want it. Through the hard times, we still have that responsibility to live for him. And of course, if a hard time is of our own making, then we need to get back to God, to get to Christ, and to get right with God again. And he's talking to them here about being strong in the Lord. You see, he realizes that he's just talking to ordinary men and women. And then he goes into all the detail there about the soldier. Now, we believe here that as Paul would have been in prison, writing prison epistles, including Colossians and Philippians 2, Philippians as well, he would have had very many times to view Roman soldiers and all of the armor that they wore. And being a man with always the interest of other people in his heart, he was able to glean from what he saw that which he could present, as we find it in Ephesians chapter 6, speaking about the Roman soldier. How these ordinary people that he's been writing to, who love the Lord, and yet they have their difficulties and their times of trial, and they have to work together. And all of these things, you can read chapter 6 there about Christ being the head of the church and family situations and all of these things, how they can do that. And it says continually in the words from verse 11 on, being able to stand, that's it. Jesus died on the cross for us. Surely in life we want to stand for him. And he draws their attention here to these soldiers. And it's important to bear in mind that he was also reminding them that the duty that they were called to, there's nowhere in the Bible where the Christian is seen as withdrawing under a command from the Lord to withdraw from the race, to pull back from engaging with that which comes our way, the enemy, and seeking. There's no retreat, he's saying to them. But here is how You're going to succeed in what you are trying to do. I think the verses there are, we've looked at some of them before, and they're always full of teaching and very relevant for us. They all bring us to Christ. All of the bits of armor that he mentions. But it is verse 10 that I'm looking with you today. What's he saying to the people here when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or as it is in the original, his mighty power? He's saying to them, and we believe the Holy Spirit says to me and to you, seek help from out of yourself. Seek help from outside yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's not putting it down here as a shot in the dark that might happen. Or if you're an elder or a minister or something, it might happen to you and not anybody else. This is for every believer. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Question may be, well, how can I have some of this power? Well, let's look at our own heart now and say, is there anything there that would hinder it? Like grudge, prayerlessness, sin, anything there that would hinder the power? We need to deal with that first of all. But brethren and sisters, what Paul is really saying here, I know you might struggle. I know you might struggle, but you can know his mighty power. He goes on to talk about that in the verses 11 down through verse 17 there. And I want to mention to you this morning, or talk to you, speak to you, the sermon title is Mighty Strugglers. Mighty strugglers, because these people, he knew, and you will see in all the epistles that he writes, that he's writing to people, and while he seeks to commend them for their stand and to help them and encourage them, he's always aware that there's a tendency to struggle because of the way the world is, and because of our own makeup, and because that sin is ever present. He knows, just like himself, that men and women struggle. So it's not a criticism. When he says to them, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, he's saying, here's how you fulfill everything that I've said to you so far. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he tells us all about the armor of God. But I want to look at those words in verse 10 this morning. Mighty strugglers. I want you to notice with me, first of all, think of weakness revealed. It's always good to know, and encouraging to bear in mind, that God's power does not grow weaker with time. God's ability never grows any weaker as the years go by. But when you and I are confronted with our own frailty, because we change. We change. You and I can be on the mountaintop today and rejoicing in the Lord, and everything's good. And then for some reason or another, in a very short space of time, we can find ourselves, we feel we're heading down into the valley of gloom and despair, hopelessness. And we're changing. And sometimes we can display that weakness, and we can become very, very aware of just how weak we really are. Number one, we can discover this weakness in our assignments. It is a blessed thing to be in our lifetime. I remember someone saying, it was a young woman praying, and prayed, Lord, we've been given a little window called life to do what we can for thee. We've been given a little window called life to do what we can for thee. And it is a blessed thing in that life to be asked to do something for the Lord. I remember, again, one of the men who does a little bit of preaching about the country still in our churches there. He's not a minister, but he does a little bit of preaching. He's preaching somewhere, and I was talking to him at the door, and I said, are you doing all right? And he says, it's such a privilege just to be asked to do something by the Lord. And so it is. And the Lord gives to you and I assignments. You think he uses a soldier here. A soldier is called to battle. He's called to that which is not going to be easy for him. And yet it is an assignment from the Lord. If you think of Judges, we've mentioned Gideon on a number of occasions here in the congregation, but just to roughly summarize, Gideon is bitter and he's discouraged and he's disappointed and he's angry with God. And he's thinking, why is all this happening to me? All the stories that you talk about or people talk about God doing this, there's not much sign of it. That's exactly what he takes, and he casts that in the teeth of the Lord. And here's what the Lord says to him in verse 14 of Judges 6. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He would have struck you as the most resentful, bitter backslider. And the Lord says to him, go in this thy might. That's power outside himself, not what was in him. Because if you read those verses before that, you will see that, yes, the angel of the Lord said to him, thou mighty man of valor. I'm sure he was wondering there, what are you talking about? Everybody knows how it is with me now. But the Lord says here, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midians. Have not I sent thee? He had here an assignment from the Lord. And he goes on to say, he changes the story slightly here, and he says, oh, but my family's just poor, and we're just ordinary folk, and I'm the least in my father's house, and he's got the assignment. He's got the assignment from the Lord. It's not going to be easy, but brethren and sisters, he's promised the might to do it. Go in this thy might. And the Lord actually said to him, thou deal with the Midianites, verse 16, as one man. In other words, Gideon, however you may feel now, you're going to be a man that is filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to be a mighty instrument in the hand of the Lord. But if you look at the whole context there, you will see here is Gideon, he's so aware of his weaknesses. All the reasons why he simply can't do it. I'm sure you've felt like that. In whatever God has given you the opportunity to do, you felt like that. Remember what the apostle said when he was writing to the church at Corinth. Said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, and how we were pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure. A lot of people, it takes a lot less to hold them back. Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, where it says they're despaired, it carries the thought of collapse. They're crumbling. Feeling that they're crumbling, he knows now just how weak he is. And I'm sure, again, you felt like that as I have. And we're very conscious that we need the Lord's help. But look what he says in the next verse. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, they're committed to the work. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, that's salvation, and doth deliver, that is what's happening to him now, he's still going. But then he says, and will yet deliver. That's future. And it could be that someone is listening somewhere and your weakness has been staring you in the face and other people are aware of it too. But your heart is right. Your heart is right. And you want to serve the Lord. And you want to do what you can for him. And you would love to be able to accomplish something for him. Maybe nothing that men would ever see or you'd ever get applause or recognition for, but you would know you've done it for the Lord to the best of your ability. Well, think of this. God has helped you in the past. He's helping you at the present time. And as you look out into the future there, it says he will yet deliver us. There's hardly, in all the writings of the Apostle Paul, hardly anywhere where we see him, his weakness revealed more than here. But if you look also in chapter 4 of this book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says here, we were troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see what he said there? Persecuted, but not forsaken in the midst of it all. He didn't say anywhere here, I'm going to stop preaching. I'm going to stop loving the Lord. I'm going to stop working, doing what I can for the Lord. With the word troubled there, he talks about being troubled in verse 8. It's a word that means greatly distressed. Hardly anybody. Certainly hardly any Christian living in the world today that's not distressed. At some time, when you look around you, if you even in the context of evangelism, you look around you and you see so few people coming to the Lord. And on all the other things that are happening. But brethren and sisters, I'm speaking to you here about the weakness that is revealed in our assignments and whatever you are doing, wherever you are, maybe in what God has given you to do, you feel it's just hard. It's just hard. Remember that hymn we were singing earlier about men and women of a bygone era and how through thick and thin they loved the Lord and they lived for him and they sought to serve him. They were not seeking out a comfortable, easy way out, but rather they lived for him in our assignments. But think of their allurements. Weakness revealed in their allurements. We're thinking here again of a soldier. If you and I were a soldier on the field, out in the battlefield, there we would think, well, victory would be a noble aim, wouldn't it? Well, I'm sure you saw these past months some of the photographs from Ukraine. I wouldn't like to be there. I wouldn't care how much armor I had on me. I wouldn't like to be stuck in the middle of that. And especially if you feel alone. A soldier, among other soldiers, they can have a rapport and encourage one another. But take a man in a lonely post. And think of all of the allurements to him. Well, one of them would be, what about surrender? What about surrender? And then you think, well, if I surrender, I'm not helping the cause any. But nonetheless, one of the allurements that would face a soldier would be to surrender. And I say this tonight, or this morning, respectfully, that in the Christian world, there are many Christian soldiers surrendering. Just surrendering. And no heart for the work. Turn their back on it now. Don't want to be that soldier anymore. For the Lord. All of the allurements that there are. Remember, we mentioned the other week Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and how Jehoshaphat, he made mistakes, and he got himself very, very close to people who should have stayed clear of altogether. He couldn't blame anybody else for that. But eventually, he called upon the Lord for help. And you and I, we can be those who are Christian soldiers for the Lord, but all the allurements are there. The allurement to surrender in God's work in a military sense, in that we don't want to present the word anymore. We don't want to be doing that. But also in the sense of our lives, that we're not different anymore. Think of Saul in the Old Testament. He was a man with great opportunity. But he always, when he looked at David, he was jealous. Please remember that God's work is not, it is not a competition. Somebody this morning might have 15 children in their Sunday school class. Maybe you have a lot less than that. Or in their whatever part of the work they're involved in, maybe dealing with a lot more than you are. It's not a competition. That one soul that you're dealing with in the eyes of the Lord is every bit as relevant. And what some missionary who's given up everything and gone to the far-flung corners, they're sitting there, nobody wants to listen, nobody wants to come to the Lord, and year after year they're battling away. Is that not important? You have a big, huge, huge place, let's say in America, with maybe 2,000 people out worshiping in the morning. It's not a competition. It's being faithful in what you've been asked to do. And as Christian soldiers, the Lord has used a soldier somewhere. And he's me there, and folks in the world today. Saul, he got his eyes on David. He was jealous, and he because he knew he had been cowardly. And then before very long, Saul was no use. He was no use. It was David that said, is there not a cause? Because Saul and others had no stomach for the battle. And please pray that the Lord will help all of us as Christians, and anyone that's listening somewhere else, help you too, wherever you are, to have a stomach for the battle for the Lord. Weakness revealed when we are given assignments. Weakness revealed when there are allurements. For instance, the allurement of surrender. Should I mention, when we're still on this point, should I mention, maybe turn you to it, to Joshua in chapter 7. And Joshua was a good man. And all through the book of Joshua, you will see that through much of that time, internal strife was almost absent. And yet those who outside sought to stand before him, as the Lord had promised him, there was no man able to stand before him. Now, we find a blip in chapter 7. Because when they approached Ai without seeking the Lord, they hadn't sought the presence of the Lord, and they had suffered a setback. And in verse 7 of chapter 7, Joshua's blaming the God. And you can't blame God when you do something wrong. You have to blame yourself. It says here, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. In other words, stayed out of the battle and just hid. That was nonsense. Here's what the Lord said to him in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? In other words, get up and go on. Get up and go on. Remember some years back, being very encouraged, remember a couple of times that the late Reverend Alan Kearns, was speaking in Ballymagurney congregation for several nights, and the title each night was Getting Up and Going On with God. Getting up and going on with God. Yes, we're aware of our weakness. And we're thankful tonight, today, that we can look to the Lord for power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, we're looking at mighty strugglers. He didn't tell them they weren't strugglers. But he said, you can be mighty if you walk with God. And that's what the Christian armor here is about. Weakness is revealed in our assignments, in the allurements that we face. But there's not only the weakness revealed. And I trust today, if you're feeling weak, that you will, as I often do, that you will listen on. There is also here the willingness recorded. Because he says here to be strong in the Lord. He's not talking about something that is not impossible. I mentioned earlier, across this world, mighty men and women rise and fall. God stays the same. He stays the same. If I read what it says there in 1 Samuel and chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 29. It says, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. The word strength there is, it is one of God's names. It literally means, if you looked at it in the original language here, the changeless one of Israel. The changeless one of Israel. And brethren and sisters, he is still changeless. He was David's strength when David took on Goliath. something that I understand on a human level, it looked like a big task. But Saul should have tried. He should have tried. There's many a man, even today in that position, rather than turn their back and run away and let everybody down, they would have tried. Probably cost them their life, but they would have tried anyway. Saul didn't do it. But David did, and the Lord was his strength. He says in Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." That's referring to God again, or it also carries the meaning here of his rock. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength and my rock, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Some commentators believe that where it talks about my fingers to fight, it's referring to the pulling of a bow, the drawing of a bow, and that kind of an archery, and being involved in that way. Whatever it is, he's acknowledging here that the Lord was his strength, the Lord was his shelter during battle, the Lord was his position, his base in the battle. Psalm 128, the psalmist said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Think of that. The Lord is my strength, refers to that which is inward, and my shield refers to outward. "He is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." David recognized and experienced the willingness of God to impart this strength. And there are many, many instances through the Bible, brothers and sisters, where God's strength has been proved to be sufficient. I'll just read what it says here in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Don't worry about turning to it. I'll read it here. It says here in verse 21 of Numbers chapter 11, "And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" In other words, Lord, you can't do this. See, Moses is a mighty man, but just a man too. But look what the Lord said here in verse 23. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short or become short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." In other words, trust me and prove me. Trust me and prove me. That is what Moses did. That is what David did. That is what the people that we were singing about there earlier on in that hymn did. That's what we have to do. Things seem hard. We have to trust him. And in trusting him, I believe we will, as we have done, and as I look back over the years here, so often, and especially you do in a small congregation, prove the Lord. You prove the Lord. I remember hearing people talking about that years before I ever came into the ministry about proving the Lord. Now I know plenty about it. And so do many of the people gathered here. And you see, the good thing about the soldier that Paul was talking about here was that a good captain always goes before his troops. And he was saying here, you're the soldiers, put on this armor. But I said earlier on, all the items bring us to Christ. I'll just quote what it says in Hebrews 12 and 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith." The word author there means leader or captain. Looking unto him. It's not looking to the world with their troubles and problems, but it is looking unto him. A good captain leads his troops. Never was looking into this or thinking about it. I think it was Captain Jones or Major Jones, whatever he was, in the Falkland Islands way back during the Falklands War. And I actually think our brother David Johnson has been where Mr. Jones fell. They cut down there by machine gun fire. He was leading the people. He was leading. A good captain leads his troops. And brethren and sisters, the Lord will not lead you and I and ask us to do something for him and then say, I'll just leave you to that yourself. the willingness revealed. He willing give the power. He gave the power to Gideon. Gideon, for all his doubts, he was a mighty, became a mighty man. These Ephesians that Paul was writing to, if they were to do what he said, they would stand. He talks there about, therefore, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. It seems today that the devil, that the whole church, the evangelical church in the United Kingdom and further, if you do, is taking a broadside from the devil. In so many ways. He seems to be making inroads and having success, and yet the Lord has not changed. We're looking here at mighty strugglers. There was here the weakness that was revealed, but then the willingness that is recorded. But please notice finally and briefly, there is a wonderful provision and assurance that can be ours today. This was for them then. And Paul was telling them there, he says, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. If someone comes into your house and says, put on your coat, you're not going to say, put your coat on next week. Put it on now. Put on the whole armor of God. And a soldier going out to the field, there's not much point in him knowing that he has the very best of armor, but it's lying back at the barracks or in the jeep. Needs it on him. And brethren and sisters, if you and I will do this, please read those verses yourself. I knew I'd never have time to cover any of the different parts of the armor there. But they all show us and in some degree bring us to God's grace for us. God's grace that will be a help to us. It speaks there about faith and having faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The many darts have been shot today, maybe some at you now these days. And it's hard to believe and just to keep on looking to the Lord because we tend to focus upon the dart. Whenever he's in here about the fiery darts, quenching the fiery darts, the reference would be to a type of shield that they used. And the material that covered the shield when the arrow, the burning arrow, hit the shield, it was that, whichever the material was, I can't say what it was, that the shield was made out of it, it in a large way quenched the fire that was there on the darn, whatever it was. And he's saying here to them, if you have faith in the Lord, you can quench the darts of the wicked. It's resting upon him, relying upon him, and receiving from him this power. I'm sure there's no believer here who wants to be a retreater. No one who wants to back into a corner and say, oh, I just can't be bothered. But rather we want to continually know his power. We owe it to the boys and girls. I've often said that in my Christian life. To those who come after us, there were those before us who worked and they've labored and we've entered into those labors. We ultimately, more than anything, owe it to those who are coming after to be faithful. One night in Portadown, years ago, first time I heard a group of young people singing, the first time I heard the song, it was a group of young people and they were singing, may those who come after find us faithful. May those who come after find us faithful. And brethren and sisters, as we now enter the winter's work, please take this word with you, where Paul says here, to these strugglers, you can be mighty. He says, finally, my brethren, and you'll see there's this affinity with them there in the warmth, my brethren. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May the Lord help us all in these days to know his power continually in all that we seek to do for him.